Welcome to Money Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment, and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor or an institutional capitalist looking for insights, analysis, and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. Today is the fifth episode of the underlying series in partnership with Morningstar South Africa and their head of investments, Sean Nietland, called Mind Over Market. It provides the latest insights on monthly investment trends, whether it's equities, fixed income, commodities, or alternative investments. Active versus passive investment styles remain a hot topic of discussion in local circles and almost murky in its comparison. There are clearer trends abroad, especially in the US, where firms like BlackRock and Vanguard have built up industry-leading assets under management through being first movers in a range of passive products and exchange-traded funds, including actively managed ETFs. The local asset management industry looks very different, with larger active managers still holding significant market share and passive incumbents seemingly struggling to gain any significant portion of that share. The result is that while the trend is moving in the right direction, fees in South Africa remain elevated relative to our global peers. This was one of the key takeaways from a recent Morningstar research effort in a review of retail share class fees across different ASISA categories. The good news is that South African investors saw fund fees going down in 2023. The average asset-weighted TER, or total expense ratio, for active funds was 1.17%, while the same number of for passive funds was 0.57%. That being said, the costs are still substantially higher than tracker options in other markets. South Africa is clearly structurally different given the nature of the local market. But taking all the new ETF listings on the JSE over the last year into consideration, one could expect passives to make similar gains in line with global trends. But what does that mean for current and future investment prospects? Well, that is why Sean Nietland is back in the studio this month to give us the answer and also talk us through some significant developments in the asset manager universe. Welcome back, Sean.
Hi, everyone. Good to be back.
Sean, can you talk to us about the main findings of the research conducted by Morningstar around passive investing in the country? What are some of the key takeaways for the current state of exchange-traded products and index trackers in South Africa?
Sure. So the research was done by my colleague, Michael Dodd, and it effectively looks at the average active and passive retail fund fee across different ASISA categories. So importantly, it considers both equal weighted fees, which effectively captures the general, let's say, trend in fees over time, as well as the asset weighted fee to better understand how concentration in the market actually affects the level of fees at the industry level that is paid by investors. So the general takeaway at the broad level is that fees are declining across all ASISA categories. So that's, you know, net positive, but at a much slower rate than what is happening and what you've observed in global developed markets and especially in the US. And this is consistent across both active and passive strategies. So the general takeaway is passive is growing, and again, importantly, at a lower and slower rate. It does also appear that new strategies in the passive space are actually undercutting existing strategies to gain traction. So passive is effectively a critical mass and scale strategy. So relatively new entrants, you would expect some clear differentiation or lower costs in order to gain market share. An interesting finding from this work that Morningstar did, however, was that on average, what we're finding is that existing market leaders or the incumbents are actually not lowering their fees to maintain their market share as new entrants are actually launching strategies. So I think that's one of the more important and more interesting takeaways from this. Other takeaways worth noting, I think, are particularly on the multi-asset or so-called allocation funds. These funds have the highest active fees on average, and particularly in flexible mandates. What we are seeing here is a bit of fee convergence again. But again, the difference here between, let's say, a multi-asset fund on an active basis is approximately 1% more expensive than what you can access on a passive basis. So I think fee convergence has been, let's say, faster as well in other categories. So we've seen, for example, on global equity, that fee convergence and the reduction in fees has been faster than what we've seen on SA equities. Again, potentially because local investors are using more global passives as opposed to local. And maybe then just the last point to highlight would be that the fee difference between, let's call it active and passive fixed income strategies, is actually quite small. And that's largely an outcome of local fixed income and domestic fixed income being a particularly narrow or small investment opportunity set.
Sean, you briefly mentioned the US, but what are the key drivers of this change globally? And why is South Africa lagging in this regard? And most importantly, what needs to change for passive strategies to become a bigger part of the investment universe in South Africa?
Yeah, Ruan. So, I mean, that's a really good question. I think, you know, if you look at the growth of passive, particularly in the US, and you mentioned up front, it's largely been led by large managers like BlackRock and Vanguard. And I think the general underperformance of active management over time provided a really good entry point for those businesses to grow and scale their offerings. You've also seen a really strong push towards democratization of markets in the US. So a new pool of investors that's really come to market, and that's further allowed more passive strategies to gain traction. Effectively, investors are getting really good market performance by investing in a tracker at a very affordable cost. I think the other thing that's important to keep in mind, you know, when we're looking at South Africa, again, if you look at market share, passive strategies account for only about 7% in South Africa. And that's across ETFs and let's call it unitized or unit trust assets. And this can be compared around 40% if you're looking at global assets. However, if you strip out the US, then that 40% is actually slightly less impressive. Then passive's market share is only about 25% globally. So it's clear that the US is the market leader in the space and other countries are lagging. And that passive growth and scale has put a lot of pressure not only on active manager fees, but also on the business of active management. So what we've actually found as well is we've seen anecdotal evidence of layoffs at global asset management firms as active managers come under pressure, typically in support functions. But we've also seen this in some instances on the investment side as well, as companies reduce their headcount. So I think if I turn to South Africa, I think, you know, there's a few things which we have observed here. Again, just tying it back to the initial work that was done, the direction of travel in South Africa is net positive in terms of fees being reduced. But that's not necessarily being driven by passive. It's more driven by slowing industry flows, also a change in the product mix, and potentially also a shift in how allocators are thinking about allocating offshore. I think it's where South Africa is currently. If you look at changes, for example, like index harmonization, that is simply a better way for allocators and I suppose for other investors to benchmark performance. So that is a net positive again. And I also do think that, you know, over time, broadening the investor base, so something like Easy Equities, which provides retail investors opportunities to basically invest, I think those types of initiatives will increase, I suppose, the appeal and interest in South African markets. But it's important to remember just how small passive currently is in South Africa, both in an absolute and relative basis.
Well, you were just talking about retail investors, but what are some of the implications for the end investors, which includes fund selectors, specifically in terms of building investment strategies to meet their financial goals?
Yeah, Ruan, so I think, again, because of that that lower market share and also low penetration rate of ETFs and trackers, I think the lack of viable passive strategies and the slower industry growth has probably meant that on average, local investors are still paying too much. I think there is broad recognition that charging fees over and above what should be is recognized as bad for the end investor. And I do think that we're seeing some commitment from the industry to bring those in line. I also think that allocators have a particularly important role to play here in terms of how they position, let's call it end solutions to clients, which is probably going to look like a combination of active and passive going forward. And I suppose we're almost at this inflection point where in the institutional market, for example, a lot of those allocators managing pension funds and retirement savings, you know, they've been able to bring down costs for their investors. And I do think in the retail market, you'll probably find DFMs and allocators also start to put downward pressure, I suppose, on the cost that the end investor is paying. And again, that's through a combination of using active strategies, which have an important role to play in South Africa, but then also to use that in combination with passive strategies that allow clients to meet their long-term objectives.
Sean, what conversations are you currently having with both clients and asset managers to ensure that there is a broader understanding of the debate around active versus passive investing, or whether there should be a debate at all?
Yeah, everyone. So I think, you know, we've been having really interesting conversations for probably the last 2 years. And I think the conversations really moved on from active versus passive. And at a broad level now, it's not about it being one or the other, but how both strategies combine to improve expected client outcomes. So I think if I loop this into, I suppose, how we would think about fund construction, probably the most topical client debate at the moment is around the appropriate offshore allocation post-relaxation of Reg 28. More recently, the discussion's not only been about the level of offshore, but also how allocators express and implement those views. Then I also think within that discussion, there's potentially two parts. The first is really around the use of SA-based managers. And again, that's mostly sort of active managers for global exposure. And the second, which is probably more important from a Morningstar perspective and in terms of our thinking, is how we really combine active and passive in that expression. So again, if you accept here that, you know, markets are generally efficient over the long term and that very few managers consistently beat an index, then there's a strong argument for tracker exposure. So that's been part of our discussion. I think for the global part of our Reg 28 mandates or constrained mandates, we are not dogmatic at all about local versus global, and we continue to do that work. We simply look for the best strategies to deliver client objectives across different mandates. So our expression there is a combination of active and passive, and that's really been a conversation that we've developed with clients, and really just to get them to understand the expectations of both strategies. I would say in our more unconstrained global portfolios, we tend to be a bit more granular in terms of which markets we can access on a passive basis. So discussions with, let's call it, investors that are investing in our offshore strategies is more around how we use passives. So generally, when markets are cheap, we prefer to buy the whole basket, so to speak, as opposed to investing in an active manager. So here, we typically invest at the index level. And examples would be the UK, Germany, and Japan, mostly in dollar terms. And then I think the discussion also is when markets are somewhat more expensive, like they are in the US at this point in time, then active management is definitely an important part of our fund construction. So I think we look at, you know, the people, the process, and the parent structure in terms of those active managers. So those are the discussions with clients. And I would say that's probably accelerated post-Reg 28. The conversations with asset managers has pretty much been, again, around where do they think their skill set sits, whether it's local or global or combination. And then the other thing in line with improving client outcomes is just, are we paying a fair fee to access their different strategies?
Sean, it does appear that innovation is taking place at a rapid rate globally, even in asset classes that are quite controversial. BlackRock recently launched a Bitcoin ETF, and the Securities and Exchange Commission just approved options trading for BlackRock's iShares Bitcoin Trust last week, expanding choices for investing in crypto-type products in American markets. Do you expect any overspill of such disruptive investment products or procedures into the local market?
So, Ruan, I think, you know, this space is developing so rapidly that I think we're struggling to actually keep up with news flow. I think the announcement by the SEC was fairly recent in terms of allowing options trading on Bitcoin. Look, I think the first point here is that in the US, again, because it's a much broader and deeper market, demand is creating, let's call it, its own supply. That's not always a good thing, especially when considering more speculative allocations. We probably classify Bitcoin as that. So developments, you know, in terms of accessibility to any investments that are highly volatile and difficult to price on fundamentals, you know, we think this needs to be accompanied by improved regulation to probably safeguard general public interest. So I think, you know, from an allocator's perspective, if I just circle back to South Africa, we have not seen, let's call it, sustained interest in crypto investing or anything in that space. the best way to probably describe it is we get inquiries when prices are up and then nothing when prices are down. And that's probably summing up, let's call it some of the behavioral biases that you actually want to protect against when building any investment strategies that are designed to meet long-term client objectives. I think if I just focus on what is, I suppose, a bit more tangible in South Africa, I think the trend in things like active ETFs does look to be something that's gaining traction locally. Again, not anywhere near the scale that we're seeing globally. But we have seen, for example, some larger asset management launch strategies in that space. I do think this trend will continue to accelerate. But also the anecdotal evidence here is scaling those offerings is not as simple as what it appears to be. And it may also result in some cannibalization of existing strategies. So I think, you know, the push towards looking at product differentiation in South Africa is an outcome of, let's say, the more conventional or traditional mix of, let's call it, equity and fixed and potentially multi-asset investing is somewhat constrained. So it makes sense that asset managers are looking for different revenue streams, but there are different things to consider in terms of how those products would line up next to each other. And then I think the last point I'll maybe make here is, you know, South Africa, the retail market does, you know, lag what we've seen in terms of global product innovation. But again, if we circle back to what's already happening in the institutional space in South Africa, we would probably expect, you know, some alternative sub-investment asset classes, whether that is hedge funds or infrastructure or renewables, to probably gain a bit more traction. Again, many of these offerings or strategies were largely used in the institutional portfolios. So there is potentially a retail market available there with enough demand and let's call it platform availability.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. But before we sign off, I just want to inform Citywire South African and listeners that we have totally revamped our database of funds available to South African professional investors, which has grown to more than 3,000 options with the addition of ETFs and passive funds to the mix. So please go have a look at our new and more comprehensive offering on our website under the investments section. Thank you, Sean, for joining us for another episode of Mind Open Markets with Morningstar. We look forward to meeting with you next month for another in-depth discussion and some actionable insights. To all our Citywire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uester, and my producer, Andithio Noviello from the Citywire Studios team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as iono.fm. All our podcasts and videos are also available on our website, so please go register and have a look at our wealth of multimedia content. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.